Galatians chapter number 2. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel, which I preached unto the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they might unto the circumcision. Father, I pray tonight that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. As we look into Galatians chapter number 2, I pray that you would help us as we learn something of your word tonight, and I pray that you would maybe for some remind us, encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 1 we looked at last week, and we looked at a few areas where Paul was introducing who called him, and he dealt in a few areas. Specifically, he was dealing with this area of salvation. He was dealing with the fact that the people were being told something different on the doctrine of salvation than what they were originally told. There were some that were going to teach the Gentiles that they had to be saved, but they also had to begin to live the Jewish customs and the Jewish laws, and that needed to be added to their salvation. There would be some that would teach that you, in order to be saved, you would also have to be circumcised. And so Paul is going to deal with some of those things here in the book of Galatians. And we looked last week at chapter number 1. And tonight, as we study Galatians chapter 2, Paul is going to be dealing with a lot of the same things. And we'll see that here tonight. But Paul is once again saying in verse number 1 and verse number 2 that he is coming up to Jerusalem. In chapter 1, he said after 3 years, he spent 3 years with Christ. He didn't spend any time with the apostles. He met them, and then in 14 years, in verse 1 of chapter 2, he goes again to Jerusalem and he meets with the apostles there again. Now, as we're looking at that, you think it's kind of strange why Paul continues or oftentimes just in two chapters is trying to teach them and tell them who he is. Kind of like he's trying to convince them that he is an apostle, that he knows what he's talking about and they should believe what he's teaching. I don't believe in any way that this is because Paul is prideful or Paul is insecure in who he is, but Paul is simply going to deal with a heresy or a doctrinal error that's happening. And so he's wanting the church here in the book of Galatians to understand that he does have authority on what he's going to talk about. Even though he was not one of the original apostles, he has authority because his calling was from Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is going to teach is not something that Paul is making up or that somebody else had told him, but what Paul is going to teach, what Paul has taught and what he previously taught them in the area of salvation and what he's going to address in this book, he got from the Lord. And so as he's going to correct some things, he's saying, where I got the authority is from Jesus Christ. And so these churches here can have confidence in what Paul is saying. And Paul is telling us now that he's in Jerusalem and he goes to meet with the pillars. He's going to meet with the apostles and talk with them in fellowship and commune with them. And Paul is driving this point hard in chapter 1 and chapter 2 so that the people understand when he corrects the false doctrine that's being taught, they can have confidence in him. For sake of time, I just want to give just a quick outline, and then we'll get right into the message here this morning, tonight. If you were going to study through the book of Galatians here in chapter 2 and kind of dissect it verse by verse, you would find this, that it's divided really, this chapter, into two separate areas, two different areas. In verse 1 through 10, and then from verse number 11 down through verse number 22 is how you could study this chapter. In verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that he's gone up into Jerusalem after a 14-year period. And he's had no dependence on the apostles at Jerusalem. What he's been taught and what he has learned has come directly from his time with the Lord. And we find that in the first couple verses here. In verse number 3, we find where he is with them, and there was no attempt. No one was trying to get him to teach the Gentiles Jewish customs or require Titus even. He mentions Titus not to be circumcised. And he does that on purpose so that as he's teaching the church here here in the book of Galatians, that they do not have to become Jewish or abide by the Jewish customs or laws or even specifically become circumcised in order to be saved. What he's saying is this: even when I was there, the apostles aren't requiring this to be done. So it's not just Paul saying you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to follow the Jewish customs in order to be saved, but you are saved through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. He's telling them this: I spent time with Christ, and this is the gospel. Someone by faith trusts in the finished work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, in nothing more and nothing less. He said, I got that from my time with the Lord. He says, and then also I want you to understand, when I went to Jerusalem, they didn't even require. So what you're being taught is not being taught by me, and it's not being taught by the apostles either. And so what you're being taught, that there's something more to salvation than Jesus Christ, it is false. And so he's reassuring the church here of that. He then, in verse number 7, he talks to the most distinguished persons in Jerusalem, received him kindly, and they had no reservations about his apostleship. Again, he's not saying with a prideful heart that you need to believe me because of who I am and I'm proving it. What he's wanting them to understand is what he is teaching them is true doctrine. It's true, and as he goes to the apostles, they receive him and they accept him in his teaching. We find the next several verses. We find that there were some in verse number 5 and verse number 6, some that maybe gave place and were trying to divide in some areas. And Paul said this: I didn't give any time for anybody, not even an hour for anybody that was going to divide. Just a side note there, what would be wonderful is we as Christians, we didn't give time to someone that was going to divide, someone that was trying to tear apart. And Paul says, I got there and the apostles received me, and maybe someone didn't want to, but I didn't even give time, not even so much an hour. I gave no time to anyone that was going to try to divide. In verse number 7 and verse number 8, we find where the evidence that he had been given the gospel to the Gentiles. In verse number 9, this was given for, the Bible says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And what he was saying is the Holy Spirit called Peter to preach to some and called me to preach to other. What we're doing, it's the same person that called us, and we're preaching the same gospel to the Jews and the same gospel to the Gentiles. What's being preached to one is the same thing being preached to the other. And that is very important. It's very important. And I in no way want to offend if there's someone here maybe visiting with us tonight. But just recently, we had someone that was a visitor to the U.S. The Pope came, and I had read some things that said that it doesn't really matter. We can all go to heaven. It does matter. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ alone. And what's happening, you say, I can't believe that someone today would say that there's more to heaven than Jesus. It was happening back in this day as well. That's been happening all through time is that religion is trying to confuse. Religion is causing a lot of confusion in people's lives. Religion doesn't get a person saved. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ does. We need to be bold in our witness of Christ, because there are some that are saying any way is okay as long as you believe something. Listen, God and Allah are not the same. Not the same. Jesus and Muhammad are not the same. They are not both offering the way to heaven, and you can choose either one. The fact of the matter is this: Jesus is the only way, and any other way is a path leading to hell. And we understand this isn't popular. And as we teach that and as we preach that, we're not doing it to be unkind, but we must present the truth. We must present the truth. And that's what Paul is doing here in the book of Galatians. He's presenting the truth. Because if someone thinks they're saved by something outside of Jesus Christ, then they're not. It's Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. And Paul is clarifying that. And Paul is saying where he got that from is through Jesus Christ, his time with Christ. He says, I go to the apostles and they confirm that what I've taught you is correct. And they realize and they've confirmed that one is called to, Peter is called to the Jew and I'm called to the Gentiles, but what we're preaching is the same thing. That means this: for a Jew to be saved or a Gentile to be saved, they must both go by the way of the cross. There were some that were saying that you must be saved and circumcised. Paul said, I brought Titus with me. Titus was a Greek. I brought him with me. And not one person there said to Titus, Titus, you're a Gentile. In order for you to be saved, you've got to be circumcised. Paul said, not even Titus. No one even approached Titus on that. And he said that so that we understood there was nothing being added to salvation. And so we find here that they were told, one's going to the Jew, one's going to the Gentile, and they're both going with the same gospel message. And in verse number 10, he said this: both of us need to make sure we do something, though. We need to be sure that we remember the poor and care for the poor as we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says what we're teaching, our doctrine agrees with Peter and with Paul. And verse number 11 through 21, he tells of his conversation with Peter at Antioch, and he shows that he did not regard himself as inferior to the other apostles. He says that when Peter came to him, he confronted Peter face to face. He withstood him to the face. In verse number 11, he said there were some things that needed to be addressed, and I went to Peter face to face. And he didn't go to someone else that had a problem with Peter. He went to the person that he had a problem with. And that is the right way to deal with a problem. So right in the middle there, in verse number 11, down through the end of the chapter, he tells that I had a situation with Peter, but I handled it with Peter face to face. I believe he told them that this so that he could show that his apostleship was not inferior to anyone else, that he was confident, he was sure in his apostleship and what he was being taught, so they could take confidence in what he was saying. I want us to look with me again now. We'll look in the future here some other verses from 11 down to the end of the chapter. But I want us to look this evening. We looked in chapter number 1 last week of Paul's identity in Christ and the fact that it changed Paul. It changed who Paul was. When Paul got saved, he was no longer the same person. His zeal was different. His passion was different. His conversation was different. His companions were different. Everything about Paul changed. We saw where Paul, last week, where Paul, he was murdering Christians, and now he's telling unsaved Gentiles how to be saved. And Paul's whole direction in life changed. And when a person gets saved, their identity is in Christ, and something should be different in that person's life. And we saw that last week in chapter number 1. Paul's identity in Christ, it not only changes him, but it also gave him something. It not only changed his direction eternally and changed his focus and changed his calling, but it gave him something. Aren't you so glad that salvation, your identity in Christ, gives you something? Changes a person and it gives him something. And I want us to see in verse number 2, the Bible says that he went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. I want us to see this evening, the first point here is that his security in God's calling. What changed the fact that his identity in Christ, it gave him security in what God was calling him to do. Paul knew, my calling of the Lord is sure. I'm saved, and now God has called me to do something. He didn't go to Jerusalem and feel insecure or feel like he didn't know what he was talking about or a second class or second rate apostle. He went there and met with these and met privately with the pillars, as he uses that word in verse number 9, I believe. He meets with the apostles and he has confidence in meeting with the apostles because he's secure in his calling. He knew this, that Jesus Christ saved me and called me to do a work. Paul was not trained by man. He didn't receive counsel from man or the other apostles on how to be an apostle. We learned in chapter number 1 that it was 3 years before he went up to Jerusalem, verse number 18 of chapter 1. And Paul wasn't one of the apostles that saw Jesus in his earthly ministry like the other apostles. Paul wasn't there in Jerusalem conferring with the other apostles and being trained by the other apostles. Paul was not trained by man, but Paul was trained by Jesus Christ. And Paul could go to Jerusalem, Paul could stand with the other apostles, and Paul could preach and proclaim the truth of salvation because he was secure because of his identity in Christ. Listen to me, if you're a saved individual, if you're a child of God, you ought to have confidence, you ought to have security in giving the gospel to a world that needs Jesus. Other religions ought not to intimidate you and cause you to be insecure. You ought to be able to boldly stand. Jesus saved you. You know what he did for you. You know the truth of the Bible. You know what salvation is. And we ought to have security in the fact that God has saved us. And now I'm bold enough, I can tell you what Jesus Christ can do for you as well. You know, it's not one of those, I hope we have the right answers. That's not what Christianity is. It's not, I hope I'm believing the right thing. It isn't, I hope that I've got this right so that one day I can go to heaven. I hope that's the case. When we say our hope is in the Lord, it doesn't mean that, you know, we cross our fingers and we say, I hope we got this right. Our hope is this. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I'm resting in Him. I'm confident in Him. I know this. If I'm a child of God, I'm secure in God. And I know this, that what I believe is accurate and sure. It's good enough for me. And I ought to, with boldness, be able to share it with others and tell others, this is the right way. Through Jesus Christ. Paul is secure in his calling. You know, this had to be intimidating for Paul to stand before the apostles. It had to have been. These apostles, they saw Jesus. They were with him in his earthly ministry. They understood Jesus and they walked with him. And now Paul is an apostle and has authority. And it's got to be intimidating for Paul to be able to stand with those apostles. He's asked to do something that he's never done, he's never seen done. The apostles saw Jesus do miracles. The apostles heard Jesus pray. The apostles watched Jesus heal. And now Paul is an apostle preaching Christ, and he hadn't seen Christ's earthly ministry. So he's going and he's meeting those that have. Paul didn't go to school or didn't get the training maybe these apostles had. Paul's time with Jesus Christ was sufficient enough for him to be able to have the boldness and have security in God's calling in his life. You see, Christian, I believe this. There are things that God will ask each and every one of us to do. In each of us, as we serve God, we ought to have that same security that Paul has. God has called me to do a work, and I ought to do it. You'll hear me say this often, church, and I pray you'll never get tired of hearing this, but God has something special for every single individual here in this room. When you were saved, He gave you a purpose. He's given you talents and He's given you gifts that you are to use for His glory. And you ought not to be shy. You ought not to be embarrassed. You ought not feel like I don't know if I can do this. I'm not as good maybe as somebody else or I'm not as talented as somebody else. God gave you something to do and you ought to have security in God's calling knowing this. He saved me and He's given me something to do and I do not have to feel inadequate in serving God. Every person, a church ought to, each member of that church ought to feel secure. God saved you, and through that salvation, He's given you eternal life, and He's given you something to do for Him. Could you imagine a church that when you went there, every single person had a job and they were doing that job? Could you imagine that? There's some that think this, the church is a big church and there's probably not a whole lot to do. That is not true at all. Matter of fact, the larger the church, the more opportunities there are. And each one of us ought to be striving in you say, well, I'm God's gifted me to sing, but I can't sing as good as that person, so I just won't sing. If God's given you a calling and God's put something in your life, you ought to have security knowing this. You can accomplish it, not through your power. Paul wasn't saying, I'm an apostle because I'm somebody. I'm an apostle because of who I am. I'm smart, so that's why he called me to be apostle. What Paul was saying is this, I don't know. I'm a nobody. I don't have the talent. I didn't spend the time with Christ, but I'm secure in my calling because I know who called me, and because of His calling, I can be secure in Him. Listen to me, it's not you that you're putting confidence in. You know, the truth of the matter is this. For myself, I was that kid in school when it was time to give an oral book report. I was about ready to faint. There were many a times I'd say this when I first started preaching. I'd sit there and I'd say, all right, Lord, if you come back right now, I won't be upset at all. Really, if you come back, I won't feel like I wasted my time studying. Matter of fact, on the way up, I'm going to be shouting even more. The butterflies and get real nervous. And some, I tell my wife that and she says, yeah, right, that's not you. And the fact of the matter is, it is. And I could either say, you know what, I don't want to get up in front of people. I'm not a type A personality and I don't want to make a mistake and I'm not the smartest and I'm not the brightest. But the fact of the matter is this, my security ought not be in myself. My security ought to be in the one that's called me. And so Paul says, I can preach. I can divide the word of truth. I can teach you what's supposed to be taught. I can tell you that's doctrinally wrong. I can meet with the apostles. I can even withstand Peter face to face because God's called me. And listen to me, Christian. God has gifted you and has called you to something specific, and you can accomplish it through Him. That right there ought to make us excited. You as a child of God have a purpose in life. You know how many people tonight are depressed and discouraged in life because they think there's no purpose to life? There's those that are lonely. You know, there may be even tonight someone in this room and you're in a room full of people and you feel like the loneliest person in the world. And you might feel, I don't know what I can give. I don't know what I can offer. I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I don't know what there is for me to do. You can be sure of this, that you have something that God is calling you to do, and your security is in the fact this, that God's called you to do it. Sometimes God doesn't use the best or the brightest or the smartest. He doesn't use the most talented. You know, I think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, there was nothing necessarily great about him other than the fact this. He said, I've got a calling on my life and I'm going to do it. I'm going to eat honey and locusts. I'm going to dress like a wild man. I'm going to live in the desert. But I'm going to be the forerunner of Christ. I'm going to preach that the Messiah is coming. I'm gonna preach that you need to be ready. I'm gonna preach salvation, and I'm gonna do that not because of who I am. I'm gonna do it because that's what God has called me to do. And when that calling is done, my purpose in life is done. I think of Moses. Moses was one that said, I can't speak. You can't expect me to go. I stutter. I can't do what somebody else can do. There's got to be a better leader, God, that can deliver your people. But God said, no, I want you so that when you do it, the people know that God did it, not a man. I think of David. David's a shepherd boy. Could you imagine being the one where the priest comes to your house to take all your family and or put the oil on the brother that was supposed to be king, and you didn't even get invited to the party? I mean, it wasn't the fact that David was even a possibility. Samuel's coming. Get all the brethren. How about David? Leave him out there. There's no way he's going to be king. He's got another job to do. He's got something more important to do. He needs to be the shepherd. There's no way, there's no reason that David ought to come in. David doesn't have a chance. Oh, but isn't it of God who says, you know what, I went through the oldest, and that's not what I'm looking for. I went through the strongest, and that's not the one I'm looking for. I went through the brightest, and that's not the one I'm looking for. Isn't there somebody else around, Samuel says? Yes, there's that David, that one David, but he's just David. He's out there playing his harp, and he's out there tending to the sheep, and every once in a while he gets lucky and he kills a bear with a slingshot. I mean, but David? And God says, that's the one I want. David's the one I want. I want somebody that when I make a great king, that all the world knows that it's me that made that king, not the king that made himself. Listen to me tonight. God has called you. You don't need to be insecure. You don't need to feel like you're not good enough. If God's calling you to, gifted you to be a teacher, you say, I don't know what I can give those kids. You can't give them anything, but if you would just use your talents for the Lord and spend time with Him, every single Sunday school class we have would have a teacher. I counted the choir loft here. I counted all these chairs here. I came in one night last week and counted, and I said, Lord, in a church this size, there's got to be enough people that can sing or even almost sing. The Bible doesn't say you have to have a great voice. It just says make a joyful noise. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing when people came into the house of God, they saw a full choir loft, and it wasn't that we were talented or great or putting on a performance, but that there was enough people that said, I'm gonna have my identity in Christ is secure because He saved me, and His calling my life is secure because He's the one that called me. When people came in, they saw a choir and heard a choir sing. It wasn't their talent that they were impressed with. It's the fact that they said, in a church like this, there's that many people that'll get up and use their talent for the Lord. Listen, God can take a choir that has maybe not as enough talent, and He can make it more beautiful than someone that's got all the talent, because those that maybe don't have enough say, God, what I do have, I give to You. And God says, I can take what you have. I can make it sound so beautiful. You can take a teacher that says, I don't know. I don't know if I could teach. I don't have a Bible college training, and I just don't know if I could teach young children. I don't have a degree in that. But God says, if you'll just let me use you, and you'll spend time in God's Word, and you'll humble yourself, and just be secure in this, that I've called you and I've placed you here to do that, if you'll just trust me, that person could be the greatest teacher ever. Listen to me, I'm not minimizing education. I'm not minimizing talent. I'm just simply saying, with Paul's example here, God can use anybody if you're willing. And you can have confidence that God can do something great, because it's not you He wants to be great, it's Him He wants people to be pointed to. We get to be a vessel that points people to Jesus Christ. Think about that. Mankind sinned. Because of that, we have to spend eternity in hell. God says, I didn't create you to be eternally separate from you. I created you to fellowship with me. I created you to worship me. But sin got in the way. And God said, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to send my Son. I want you to be redeemed back to me. So I'm going to send my Son, my only Son, my perfect Son. He's going to go and He's going to be born of a woman. He's going to die on the tree. He's going to be bruised and beaten. He's going to be crucified. His blood's going to be shed. And if you by faith will trust Jesus Christ, I'll redeem you back to me. How could a Christian that knows that not do something so the world can know that? How could a Christian that says, I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but I'm going to spend eternity in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, by faith I've trusted Him. How could a Christian do that, accept Christ, his identity be in Christ, and now say, but I'm not going to serve? Not going to get involved. Our desire ought to be this. I'm going to do something for God because of what He did for me. And I trusted Him for salvation, and I'm going to trust Him to give me what I need to serve Him. I don't believe Paul was prideful, saying, I'm somebody, I'm an apostle, I'm somebody. Paul was saying, no, I don't deserve to be an apostle. But I can speak truth and I can be an apostle because God has given me the security to be what He's called me to be. My time is done. That was one point out of a few, so we'll just finish this. Hope you don't plan on going anywhere. I don't plan on going anywhere, so we'll be able to finish this here in weeks to come. God's given you a gift. What are you going to do with it, church? When you come back Sunday morning, what are you going to be involved in? What part are you going to play so that Monclova and this community is reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ?